Start over.
Yo ho, yo ho, it's Pirate Life Radio. So grab a beer and sing our cheer for the ocean's best variety show.
Yo ho, yo ho, it's Pirate Life Radio. So hoist your sails and swing your rails. It's time for Pirate Life Radio.
Felt all right.
Yo ho ho mateys, and welcome to yet another episode of Pirate Life Radio. I'm your host Kyle Gritchen,
and I'm your host Josh Wallace,
and yeah, we're back again, trying to do these episodes a little closer together now. I know we took a huge, not huge, but a few months break between the last couple.
We're a bit more settled into our new digs here in Dover, so I think it's safe to say we're going to be cranking these out a bit more often. So if you're a fan of the show, great news for you. If you're not, I don't know why you're listening to us right now.
Probably because just the sheer sound of our voices.
We do have really angelic voices. Let's be serious about that.
Yeah. Anyway, we just want to thank once again everyone who's checked out the podcast. Gave us a like on Facebook. If you've liked us, subscribe to us on iTunes and left a review, that's amazing. That helps us with our standings, and it just lets a lot more people listen to us, because our show shows up on a lot more people's feeds. So that's awesome. So thanks so much.
And you know, it makes us feel really nice. And what's better than feeling nice? It's good to be good, or it's nice to be nice. I don't know.
It's good to be nice. It's nice to be nice. Yeah.
It's one of those things. Just want to give a quick shout out to our friends in another podcast, recently acquired friends, I should say. Some guys called Minstrel Cycle,
which is the best name for a podcast.
Minstrel Cycle.
Minstrel Cycle.
It's very punk rock, I feel like.
Oh, super.
Anyways, those guys do a similar thing to what we do, except they do it out of Edmonton. So those guys are, you know, talking about all the local and exciting things going on up there. So if you like what we do, be sure to check them out, because they're doing something similar, and, you know, then you can find more good music from just a little bit north of us here.
Yeah, so where can we check that out, Cal? What's the website?
It's minstrelcycle.ca, or you can search up Minstrel Cycle on Facebook, and that's MINSTRELCYCLE.
Yeah, get the spelling right, because if you don't,
you're getting
menstrualcycle.ca, and I've checked that website, oh Kyle, and it's a fucking nightmare.
It's not for me.
It's not. Well,
okay.
Moving on. I think we got a few shows to promote, talk about here.
Yeah, well, first I'd just like to talk a little bit about the Winter Classic that just happened that I was pimping out on the last
episode. Yeah, that's right.
Bad Animal, we played at the Sugar Shack stage at Broken City. So the show was separated between two venues, which are side by side, Last Best Brewery and Broken City. Two great bars here in Calgary, especially Broken City. If you're into like dirty punk rock bars, that's probably one of my favorites to go to for
definitely,
that kind of scene.
Definitely the place for me.
And they got super cheap PBRs all the time, which I love, of course. So basically, the stage that we played was upstairs
on the rooftop.
On their rooftop patio, which was really cool. Literally, it was fucking freezing. they had heaters for the crowd, which was awesome when you were in the crowd. But up on stage, like, my fingers actually went numb for a little while for the first three songs.
Yeah, pretty counterproductive for trying to shred on the guitar.
Yeah, it was an interesting start to the set. My guitar wouldn't stay in fucking tune at all. Right. Some major tuning issues there.
Yeah, what was the temperature? Did you check?
I don't know. It was below zero for sure.
Fucking cold enough.
It was cold enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had some shrivelly testicles up there. That's for certain.
Yeah. Who's your favorite set from that night? Like, what was the best set that you saw?
It was hard to say. High Kicks played, and they always put on this. You can't not enjoy yourself.
Yeah, those guys are fucking, those guys know what they're doing. Yeah.
They really do. So that was cool to get to see them. I'm really sad that I missed Napalm Pom. They were playing it pretty much. They started probably 15 minutes after us, which kind of stole our crowd a bit, but I understand those guys are pretty big hitters in the Calgary scene right now.
Yeah,
they play some really good, tight rock and roll. Really fun. But we could actually, they were playing on the patio beside us, so when we were done our set, we could hear them, and it sounded fucking awesome. Sad I couldn't really watch it, but they sounded really good. I saw this band called Manta Ray. I think they're from in town here. I'm not 100% positive, but they were doing like this cool, like fusion-y, kind of like intricate, cool music. I don't really know how to describe it. I only saw like a song or two of it, but they played super tight, and they were really cool to check out. Misha from Misha and the Spanx, I saw her do like kind of a stripped down set. So usually it's
well, like, whoa, what kind of stripped down set are we talking about?
Okay, let's not get too excited.
I would watch that.
I think most would, but no, I mean, usually
acoustic is what you mean.
Not even acoustic, actually. She played out of an electric guitar and out of an amp, but she's usually got a drummer with her, actually, Sean Hamilton, who plays in Jenny, and he's got his own solo thing right. going on. He recently joined her. He was playing the drums the last time that I saw her, but this time it was just her and an amp. And like the drums, like especially Sean, he brings a lot of energy on stage to her songs, but I was really surprised to see how well her songs worked, just her playing them on the guitar. So yeah. that was really cool to see.
Yeah, actually, I think that's like a good testament to how good a song actually is. Like, if you can take away the drums and the bass and just have guitar and a voice, if it still sounds legit, then like, you know, once you add all those bells and whistles, it's gonna sound awesome.
Yeah, you're gonna have a good song. And yeah, she did really well with that. And who else?
Man Cub played, did they not?
Man Cub played, but I missed their set. Sorry, Sean. I was actually out of town that night. I needed to get out of the city for a bit after all the beer that was drinking.
Detox. I did detox.
Yeah, a little bit.
In Radium.
Yeah, it wasn't really a successful detox.
No.
But Man Cub played. And then there was Guantanamo Baywatch was awesome. They play like surf rock. And I didn't.
That name is just fucking awesome.
Isn't it, though? Guantanamo is so like silly,
so clever,
and fun, like. And their music is really fun. They play like this like throwback to surf rock kind of stuff, and they shred it. It's so sweet. Cool. I recommend checking any of those bands out. And yeah, that was pretty much that was pretty much Big Winter Classic for me. A lot of fun in the cold. It was good. It was a really cool thing to see in Calgary during the winter months.
Yeah, it's the first of its kind that I've heard of. I know there's like a few festivals, not outdoor though.
Yeah,
during the winter months in Calgary.
Yeah,
like,
well, it's not, to be fair, it's not completely outdoor, but they do have the outdoor stages, and that was neat.
Right.
I thought that was nifty.
Just nifty. Yeah, and it's been, you know, unseasonably warm. I know that day that you guys had played, it wasn't necessarily.
It wasn't unseasonably. I mean, it could have been way worse knowing Calgary, but we got off okay.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, let's get into some of the shows that we want to talk about.
Yeah.
Coming up, what do we got? What's first up there, Kyle?
Well, next Saturday, that's February 20th, for those of you listening any other day of the week, we've got the Palomino, I think it's their 12th anniversary party, don't quote me on that, but it is their anniversary party. We got Public Animal coming in from Toronto, and the Von Zippers, who are just staples of the Calgary punk scene for like the last, I want to say, almost 20 years. We bought their old drum kit, some big old fucking Ludwig kit.
That's a piece of Calgary music history.
It might as well be. And Bad Animal, we are also playing as well. And so are the Shiverettes and the Tontos. I think I might be missing one more band. Anyways, that show's $15. And your entry includes the limited edition vinyl with a bunch of bands that have played the Palomino, including Bad Animal. So if you want a piece of Bad Animal music before our record comes out a little bit later in this year, then definitely come to the show and grab that record. Or you can also get that record at Sloth.
Do we know which song is going to be on that?
I believe it's Wild Brewin'. Yeah, that's the one we submitted.
Wild Brewin'?
Wild Brewin'.
All right. So, yeah, keep an eye out for that. Definitely go check out that show. It's going to be a raging time.
Oh, yeah.
Always is with any of those bands. What's next, I guess, would be March 6th?
No, March 5th, we've got
The 5th, that's right. Two shows back-to-back, doubleheader.
That's right. Blind Beggar, we've got our buddies in Aftermarket Interior, Yankee Gale, and if any of you all remember the Deer Kills.
Deer Kills.
Coming all the way from
Red
Deer.
Episode 2, yeah.
They're all playing with a lady called Laura Hickley, who I'm not familiar with, but she's headlining, so she's got to be good, right?
Gotta be.
She's got to be the fucking talent. So that's happening March 5th at the Blind Beggar, which their new location is at the old Hooters.
Yeah, it's like almost across the street from where it used to be.
Yeah, pretty close.
Yeah, and then on March 6th, the following day, again at the Blind Beggar, We have the Blind Beggar Original Music Showcase. Some of my friends, Back Pocket, are playing, so shout out to Clay and Lacey and Chris. They just recorded a record. I had the opportunity to hear a couple tracks the other day. It's unbelievable. It blew my mind. So definitely get out, check that out. That's March 6th at the Blind Beggar. I know there's like a slew of other bands playing. It's a competition. I'm not exactly sure what exactly is going on. It's just a lot of good bands playing at a great venue. So definitely want to check that out.
And I just got to go back to the 5th year for a second. If you're not feeling the mellowisher vibes of Aftermarket Interior, the Yankee Gale, and the Deer Kills, my buddies in Man Cub are doing their long-awaited LP and video release at the Palomino. Another good show at
it's
the
Palomino.
It's
going to be awesome. Yep.
They're playing with Temple and Mammoth Grove, so that's going to be a heavy, groovy night. So if you're feeling something a little bit more riffy, there's a spot for you. Or you know what? I'm going to try to go to both of those shows since I love all these bands. Yeah. And, you know, that might make for a fun Saturday, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. So,
or is it a Friday? Is that a Friday or a Saturday? I don't even know.
I don't know.
It's March 5th. That's all you need to know.
I don't own a calendar.
What's a cat? What is time?
This is the 21st century, man. I've got an iPhone that I never check. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, so I think now we just want to talk about a couple of bands. I actually had the opportunity to see some really fucking awesome live music last night. I was at the library, aka the basement of the Night Owl. It was Living with Lions and Youth Decay and Danger Cat. And anyone that knows me knows that I have an undying love for Living with Lions and pop punk in general.
This is very true.
Youth Decay, a little bit heavier, but I mean, they still got some pop punk tendencies. Both those bands are fucking unreal, so if you're into that kind of stuff, check it out. But I had not heard Danger Cat up until last night, and they blew me away. They were unbelievable. The guitar tone that they had was just so good. The greasiest of bass tones. Like, just, you know, that heavy, dirty... Well, you'll hear it in a second, but it's just heavy, dirty.
That low-end thunder.
That low-end thunder that makes your loins rumble, that just...
Almost makes you shit your pants.
Almost. And then you don't, and then it's like just an even better feeling of success.
That is a pretty good feeling, yeah.
So yeah, I had the opportunity to check them out, and I wanted to play a song for you guys off of one of their records. Their newest record, I believe it came out last year. It's called To the Moon. And the song that I wanted to play for you is called In My Way. They played this one last night. And yeah, check it out. If you like what you hear, you can just look them up on Facebook. I know there's two Danger Cat bands. One I believe is from New Brunswick. This is the Danger Cat from Winnipeg. You're going to get two vastly different experiences if you check out either bands. They don't sound anything alike, but they are both Canadian. And we're all about Canadian talent here. So
that's absolutely true.
So yeah, you can check it out for yourself. This one is In My Way by Danger Cat.
In my way!
Set fire to all all. You're always in my way.
All right, that was In My Way by Danger Cat from Winnipeg, Manitoba. If you like what you heard, check them out at www.facebook.com/dangercatband. They also have a website you can check out, that's www.dangercatband.com. If you're into really fucking awesome pop punk by a bunch of really cool Canadian dudes from the Peg, then check it out. Yeah, that's all I got to say, basically.
I just have one important question.
What's
for
that,
the guys in Danger Cat, if they should ever hear this podcast. I just want to know if they got their name from Woman is a Danger Cat from the FUBAR film. That's my very pressing question.
That's a valid question. So Danger Cat, if you do hear this, send a message to Pirate Life Radio.
We want to know.
We want to know. Where'd the name come from?
Anyways, so that was Danger Cat. I want to take 2 seconds to just pimp a band here from Calgary. These next guys we're going to play are called Wendigo. They've been a band since 2011. And I saw them play downstairs at Broken City for Big. And I don't know how I missed talking about them earlier, but it doesn't matter. I'm going to pimp their shit now. They're super tight, super dancey, super fun band. Like, I've not seen a band this talented come out of and unique sounding come out of Calgary in a long time, and unfortunately I understand they're going on a hiatus pretty soon here, which is kind of a big bummer because I really only recently got into them. But they've got a couple releases. You can check them out and buy them at wendigomusic.ca or check them out on Facebook, and that'll lead you in the right directions. They're described on Facebook as layered, surfy, catchy, dreamy, indie, psych pop, which is a way better description than I think I could have come up with, and I like to let the music do the talking anyways. So we're going to play the song It Goes On, and if you can find it, they've actually got a really sweet music video for this song too that you should check out. Anyways, here's It Goes On from Wendigo.
Don't know where we should go. It goes
Flag say?
It says, Fox Who Slept the Day Away. Fox Who Slept the Day Away!
Totally, yeah, our musical guests of the evening.
That's right, Fox Who Slept the Day Away is pulling into port right now to do an interview with us.
Yeah, so let's get geared up for them. Let's play one of their tracks off of their 2015 release, Orbit. This one's called Boardwalk. And the guys in Fox Who Slept the Day Away will be joining us right after the break. So check it out, guys.
we
are
Fox,
who
slept
the
day
away,
and
you're
listening
to
Pirate
Life
Radio. Yo ho ho, mateys, and welcome, Fox, who slept the day away, to Pirate Life Radio. Why don't we start off with a very quick introduction. Starting on the left, who do we have and what do you do?
I am Austin Franks, and I play guitar and do vocals in Fox Who Slept the Day Away.
I'm Austin Caron, and I play bass in Fox.
I'm Connor Mead, and I play guitar and I sing.
And I'm Maxwell Hovapa, and I play drums in that band.
Well, welcome to the show, guys. Thanks for introducing yourselves. Yeah. Why don't we start off with a brief or a long history of who you guys are, how you guys came together, and what Fox Who Slept the Day Away is all about.
Huh. Yeah, let's kick it off with you, man.
Well, basically, we kind of started as a group of friends in my basement. We were having lots of kickbacks, and we decided to jam a couple times. We thought it sounded good. We got a bit serious, invested in some equipment, set some space aside in my garage, and next thing you knew, we were writing very mediocre songs for a bunch of 18-year-olds.
I feel like that's how a lot of bands
get started. That's how every good band starts.
Very mediocre garage origins.
Yeah,
exactly. I've got a couple bands under my belt with very similar stories.
Yeah, we've been there.
Yeah, a couple times.
And our first show was Tubby Dog, which just makes it all
that
better.
Is awesome.
Yeah, it's very, very Calgary.
Yeah,
it's so Calgary. So after you guys started writing mediocre songs for 18-year-olds, what happened after that?
I don't know. We started making connections with some of our friends, and we just kind of started taking steps out, and we played some more shows. We got our name out and got some fans, and then we started to ask ourselves, do we really want to take this seriously? And we took the steps to prepare ourselves for that.
Yeah, well, you can definitely tell from that. You guys have got a couple recordings under your belt now, a few available on their Bandcamp. Definitely check them out. Who are some of your friends here in the Calgary music scene? Who have you guys been playing with? What sort of connections have you been making?
The connections, I guess, is like, well, before Fossil Records started, it was bands like the Ashy 100, Wendigo, and 36 that really helped us and sort of mentored us, as well as we're just like friends with them.
Of course, yeah.
And it's just a natural progression. We just hung around people that were in the music scene and doing successful things, and then we just got better as we continued.
Yeah, I've seen you guys a couple times now, and you guys are definitely very tight. Do you guys do you guys have a history other than jamming together in music, or has it always been
hobby? We've all been playing music for like a good portion of our lives.
Yeah.
Like in school and stuff, or just as a hobby?
Mine is mostly from school. Oh, I got a lot of mine. I've been in bands for like in my school's band. I was in orchestral bands for a really long time, and I did percussion and all drumming. And I took saxophone for 5 years.
Oh no shit!
And I have my own. And like I did a lot. And my dad is a drummer, so I learned a lot from him.
Runs in your family. Yeah, that's always a good
definitely.
Thing. And the rest of you guys just hobbies, or...?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. It's like, I personally started when I was 8, and then I got serious with it when I was 13. Just writing shitty songs on acoustic guitar, and then... Yeah, and then after that I met Connor, and then I formed my real first band before... called Sandcastle, right?
Yeah.
It was a tight... Yeah, it was a tight band. It was super tight.
Another garage jam and shit, yeah.
Is there any recorded music of that in existence?
It exists. It exists on...
If people want to find that?
Yeah. I have a version.
It's not on the internet. It's like limited edition
CDs. There's like two CDs on it, actually.
I literally have one of them.
Shit. Jay Tilly has the other. We don't even have it.
What does it sound like? Just a quick couple words.
Oh, man.
Rock and roll.
There you go. Perfect.
Complete control.
Yeah, complete control rock and roll, you know?
I don't know.
It's kind of, like, it's close to this. Like, we would be able to play with Fox and Sandcastle, but it was more, like, the bassist and guitar and drummer in that band were more, like, influenced with heavier stuff.
Okay.
And we were like, no, let's chill it out. And they're like, nah, fuck that. And we were like, okay, yeah.
It's going two different ways,
yeah,
eh?
Yeah. Yeah. So it didn't last long.
And then you guys have recorded a demo that was like your first release.
Oh yeah, it was.
I believe it's on Bandcamp.
Yeah,
yeah. We removed a few, I think, two songs from it, but we have most of that still up. The only songs we recorded, we removed, are the ones that we have available as good recordings on our album.
Okay.
And the other ones are hopefully going to keep them there because it's just, it's such a throwback. It's the
right.
experience.
And you guys, piece of the history. Probably did that DIY, did it by yourself.
We put an iPhone
voice memo on the ground and then jammed.
That is super DIY.
Super lo-fi. You know?
That is awesome.
We got a super good review actually on
We weren't expecting that.
Randomly.
On Very 8.
Yeah, okay. They took
that
and they loved that shit. Like our song
really
Death of Batman, they were on that song.
You guys have been getting actually quite a bit of love from I'm Very Ape.
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, for those who don't know, what is I'm Very Ape? If you like, I feel like you guys probably have a decent relationship with them.
With a few of them,
recently. Yeah, because it's like a collective of what, like music lovers and appreciators who come together.
From like all forms, people that are artists and draw, write, or actually play music itself. Like Mike Ryan just got added to that. He released a really awesome
Chad Dallas, he did. What's it called? Mass for Shut-ins, right?
Yeah, that's very good.
I was pretty blown away by that. Actually, a lot of cool textures and stuff going on.
It was like
on
one of the top sellers on Bandcamp for a while too.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was like for over a month or something. It was like number one.
No way.
And then Wendigo released their album and.
Everything
moved down.
Yeah, well, those guys earned it for sure. back to I'm Very Ape. They actually gave your song Hush off of Orbit, right?
Yeah.
They put it in their list of the top 50 songs of 2015.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. 100% awesome. Beat out Hotline Bling, and that's all that matters.
I wanted to say, like, are you guys experiencing, like, are you guys bigger than Drake now? Are you feeling the pressure of the celebrity status?
I mean, we're getting groupies all the time. Like, you gotta push them off.
We're actually on a 6-year tour right now. That we just came back from Venezuela, and then we cut down through Spain and then Argentina.
Yeah, you know what? I hear this isn't the best time of year for Venezuela, though. Like,
too
bad he hasn't been gone in the spring, right?
That's why we ended up coming back.
Yeah. Early.
Right on.
And actually, number one on that I'm Very 8 Best Songs list was 36's Kaleidoscope.
Yeah,
and Ashley 100 was on that list as well.
Yeah,
And now you guys have a bit of a closer relationship with the Ashley 100, is that correct?
Yeah.
And what is the connection there?
They're like brothers to us.
Like brothers, or I understand, is it your brother that plays?
Yeah.
Okay.
Andrew Franks.
Andrew Samuel Dennis Franks.
Big shout out to them.
They go way
brother.
Back to birth.
I've known him. Give or take 8 years.
he wasn't always around.
No,
that'd be an older brother, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we've all got one.
That guy's
actually so funny because we get confused so often.
Look very similar.
I was just booking a show at the Palomino. Like, I had to go and meet them.
Right.
And I just talked to Dan, and then I was on my way there, and he texted to Arlen. He was like, okay, Austin will be there any minute, grab him. And he grabs my brother, starts talking to him about booking like an album release and a single release to him. And Andrew's like, Brett usually handles this. And it's like like 5 or 10 minutes of Arlen trying to explain to him.
It's like, all right, listen, here's the deal. We want to do it on this day and this time. Yeah. Like, you guys are going to get some tickets. We're going to sell these fucking tickets.
Completely different worlds. And then it finally happened. And it's actually happened a lot. Like, even on Facebook, people mess us up.
They even sing the same, man. First time you showed me the Ashley 100, they had a demo, and I was like, is that you singing? He's
Are
like,
you
no,
guessing?
Man. Yeah. And that's what I thought he was showing me. He's like, no, that's my brother. I was like, shit.
Yeah.
Who would have known?
That's cool. Actually, Brett did the banjo on our theme song.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he did. He fucking laid it down
it's
in a heartbeat.
Unreal. That's still my favorite part of that.
Those guys are all pretty tight, but Big thanks again to Brett for doing that.
Cheers to Brett.
I gotta ask you guys, what is up with the name? Fox is up the day away. Where did that come from?
Max, you wanna get on this one?
Are you talking about my way or are we talking about the real way?
Let's talk about the real way. I feel like we should
have fake stories.
We shouldn't tell them a made up story yet. Yeah, I believe that also actually has to go back to Austin Carroll, though, because that's where it originates.
That's true.
Well, there's nothing, like, super unique besides what the name would suggest. I saw a video of a composer doing an improvised piano piece, and there's a cat sleeping behind, and he called it Cat Who Slept the Day Away because of the inspiration of his cat sleeping. And so I bring it to the guys, and I'm like, yo, there's this indie guy doing this song, like, what do you think of this name? And they're like, oh, it's cool. And Austin Frank says, we should make it Fox, because that would make it indie.
Nice.
And inspiration of Fox was also Connor and I have had this kind of, like, real but fake project,
for, it's really fake real.
It's, yeah. It's real fake.
Imaginary real.
But it's just us doing some stuff, and it's called Fox McCloud and the Infinite Skyway. So, reference to Star Fox.
That's
there.
Right, yeah.
Cool. I don't know, Fox, Foxes are awesome. So,
yeah.
Shout out to Foxes.
Shout out to Foxes, cheers. Yeah.
They are a pretty slick animal.
What's the endangered one, the snow fox?
Oh,
thing?
So... I was doing some research. I kind of decided to make up a story because it sounds really cool and it makes it sound like there's actually meaning behind it.
Oh, you got like deep.
Oh, I was.
Yeah.
So I think it was in the 70s. A fox was completely extirpated from Alberta into the States. So there's none in Alberta, and it was called the Swift Fox. And so it was supposed to be a reference saying that like they completely died out.
Well, they slept the whole fucking day.
Because they slept the day away.
Yeah.
But recently, I think it was just like less than 10 years ago, they were reintroduced to Alberta and they started doing really well. And it was something in the winter and people were like, winter tonight. So he slept the day away. But they're back. They're coming back.
They're back. They're back for the night, baby. It's all good.
Party all night.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense. I was always wondering because that's pretty unique.
Yeah,
I never, it's long though.
The thing I hate about though is you have to repeat it. What's your band name? Fox Slept the Day Away. Sorry, what?
Six
Fox
words, yeah.
Who Slept the Day Away.
And
you're just gonna have to write it down, man. Like,
and do people who just come up and be like, "Hey, you're like the foxes," or like, "You're like the sleepy
it's
fox dudes."
Like fox and
stuff.
Yeah, we had one show. They called us Fox Who Ran Away, and we're just like, we get it. You can get it wrong, but Fox Who Ran Away.
That's you're not even trying.
No,
you really
were. No,
they didn't try.
No. It was at Waves Coffee, so whatever.
I personally enjoy it, though, because it leaves it up for diversity, I find. You can just, like, hear other people's interpretations. The more complex the name, the more complex...
And it does, it paints a picture. it's like a vivid description. It's a good title.
Yeah.
It's a good title. Do you ever get people, like, telling you that you should change it? Because I feel like every band I've ever been in, they're like,
We used to.
Yeah.
For sure, for me personally.
No,
I ask a lot of people, should we change it? And they're like, no, fucking keep that name. Like, nowadays. Like, people like from Wendigo and the Ashton, you're like, is it too long? It's like, no.
Yeah, and I think it almost like sets you guys apart because the trend almost now is like one word.
Word, two syllables.
And like taking out something. Letters of a band name to make it like The Weeknd.
The Weeknd. There's no
there's
E
no
at the end of that.
And they take out letters to make it shorter. But we're taking all those vowels.
Japanese girls spelled out with consonants, no vowels in Japanese girls. I don't know.
It's a thing.
I don't know when that trend came about, but it's here for now.
Were you Taste of Edmonton?
I was not at Taste of Edmonton.
Okay, I thought.
But
I saw you.
Bad Animal, we played. That would have been cool, but no.
Any bearded dude with like a pony.
Could have
been anyone.
Guys. But we Bad Animal played with them at the Palomino, and they were pretty kick ass there.
Where?
Yeah, that was cool. That was a good show. Well, I feel like maybe we should play a song right now.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Sure. Are
you guys down with that?
Yeah.
I think we should play the song that beat Hotline Bling on I'm Very Apes Best of 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be Hush. So let's get into it. Here's Hush by Fox Who Slept the Day Away.
Thank you.
was the 28th best song of 2015, according to I'm Very Ape. That's I'm Very Ape, sorry. Beating out Hotline Bling, of course.
so important.
It's really important in the history of you guys, I think. one thing I wanted to talk to you guys about, I'm a guitarist, so one of the first things I usually notice about a band is the guitar work. Not to discount the fucking rhythm section at all. But it, like, one of the, like, every time I see you guys, I'm kind of blown away because it's like the two guitarists are both kind of playing lead lines and rhythm at the same time. And you guys are kind of both in the higher register, but, like, there's very distinct things going on. And I kind of want to talk about, ask you guys, where does that come from? Is that, like, something conscious that you do?
Or... I think it comes from being self-taught where you just, like, because I think both of us, like, we never were totally like in lessons and stuff. A lot of it's like we'd play on our own and figure what we like, and a lot of it comes from just him and I. We just flow well together, like even with singing and playing guitar as well. It just, it's so easy to work with him. I think like we don't even sit down and be like, is this what we're doing? We just kind of play
and figure it out as you go along.
Yeah,
because that's a lot of what it sounds like. It actually, like, it sounds like, without this sounding weird or anything, it sounds like you guys are playing together. Like, there's a lot of fun being had there. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of back and forth. And, yeah, I don't know. It's pretty cool. So I think that's, like, one of the unique things that you guys have going for you.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, interplay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Between what you guys do. Like, yeah, like, not necessarily a defined lead guitar player and a rhythm guitar player. Find, like, I mean, and I don't necessarily, I guess, know who played what on the album, but
yeah,
it seems like a lot of, like, there's no defined roles, like you both just kind of take.
I think it's that whole, like, that us trying to be different as a genre in general.
Right.
If we have two guitarists that you don't know who to define as the lead or the rhythm, then that is already going along with that. And yeah, just kind of.
It kind of helps you guys bend the rules a bit more, eh? If you don't really have that defined role. Now, speaking of that, what is kind of the ethos behind Fox Who Slept the Day Away? Like, what is it that you guys are trying to accomplish with your music, or is it even something that you think about? Is there, like,
definitely do think about it.
We
work, like, really hard on what we're trying to create, and I mean, we talk about it as a group a lot. Like, I think that's one of the big things is us doing our music as a group makes it different, because I know a lot of bands, like, they have main writers and stuff like that, but when it comes to us writing, we bring something to the table, but
As a group,
yeah. Like, someone will bring, like, a guitar line or bass line, yada yada, and then the whole group will have their influence on it and change it from there, and it just, I don't know, other minds being on a project, just, it really expands it, I think.
Mm-hmm. And do you guys ever have the problem where, you ever hear the phrase, too many cooks in the kitchen? Where you got too many people trying to come up with too many things and it gets kind of cluttered? Or do you find, like, it's pretty...
We're getting better at dealing with that, I guess, right now. Like before, it was hectic.
Sifting out which ideas work best together.
Yeah. But I think we've worked together enough at this point that we have a better formula to handle that situation. But we can still improve on
it,
for sure.
Well, it's one of those things, being in a band. It's just, it's always a work in progress, no matter what your formula or the way you think about it is.
Especially when you come to the table with, you know, maybe a riff or a... like a drum part or something that you're so attached to, you're like, this is the fucking best thing I've ever done. And then everyone else in the band is kind of like, that's all right. And you can't, and you're so attached to it, but you kind of have to learn to let it go and do what's best for, like, the common goal, right? So
We've been doing actually quite a few different things to try to accommodate with that, and, like, separating into two different groups and writing, or separating completely as just separate people and writing to try and, like, progress apart. And then saving the things that we don't use and bringing them back to do another song or to do something else. And we've been actually... We did that once, and we've come into, like, two or three songs because of it.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's a good... that's a really good idea to hold on.
Yeah, you store it away for later use.
Yeah. Do you guys, like, write your music down on paper? You record the ideas? How does that work for you guys?
We usually just, like, do voice memos.
Voice memos
are insane.
Oh yeah, it's great. But our drummer was saying that he was going through all of his, and he had, like, 300 pages and pages on iTunes from years and years back. Which just sounds like a nightmare to sift through, but, like, that's like, I find was my biggest problem as a guitarist for a while, is, like, I'd come up with a riff I'd be like, that's a sweet riff. I'm never going to forget this riff. Next day, gone. Fucking erased.
Yeah. Yeah. I do that all the time.
It's so bad. And then you're just like, that was like the best piece of music I've ever put my mind to.
Yeah.
And now it's over. Just like, see you later. Washed away in the ocean.
Totally. Yeah, it's really awesome to have that, just that resource to pull from. Right? Yeah. Like, I find
it's right in your pocket.
It's right in your pocket. And a lot of bands, I feel, have, you know, you run into that problem where there's that expression, like, you've got your whole life to write your first album. And then after that, where do you pull the material from, right? Like, a lot of people get writer's block. That's a real thing, so.
There's a lot of pressure, right?
You know, if you're just constantly archiving riffs and fucking maybe vocal melodies or parts, whatever you do, and then you can just pull from that. I feel like that. That way you're not rushing, like, oh, okay, we got to do an album, or we're writing new songs, and then, like, we have fucking nothing prepared.
Yeah.
We have no idea what we're going to do, at least this way you've got.
Yeah, there's never a lack of ideas, it seems.
Yeah.
Well, there's always someone who has something.
Right.
Since we do the group thing, there's always more to go from. Like, it's nonstop.
Yeah.
Well, I find it cool that you guys will split off into groups.
Yeah.
Because that'll change your whole dynamic,
yeah.
the way your even brain starts to think about things, like,
yeah, exactly.
depending on your surroundings, right? So I find it really interesting that you guys use that kind of approach, because that's very brainy. Like,
we stole that idea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I read the book Scar Tissue.
Great
book. And Anthony Kiedis is like, yeah, so sometimes when we're stuck on a song, John and Flea, they'd like look at each other, understand where they are in the song, leave, come up with something, come back, and then play it and then expand from there. And we tried it recently, and it really did work.
That's cool. So you guys have a couple of releases on your Bandcamp, but I want to talk mostly about Orbit. When and where was that recorded?
So 2014
May
we recorded
2014.
That. And so we went out to Lethbridge to meet up with Jesse Northey of Jesse and the Dandelions. He recorded Wendigo's first album, the Ash Hundred's first EP, Zachariah and the Prophets and stuff. So we were like, yeah, like, he's done everyone, so we might as well try it. And drove out there for a weekend in May, and just busted out 8 songs in 2 days. And and it was only like maybe like an 18-hour process in total of recording. And
so you just kind of smash it out pretty quickly.
Like, he did, these two, they did drums and bass at the same time, and Max had gone off, like, in the past 30 hours, having 2 hours of sleep, and then just shows up. He's like, hey, now you got to drum for 8 whole hours, and he's like, okay.
Great.
Yeah, but he still came out super tight, which was really fun. It was like, fun environment. Like, there's, looking back, maybe we could have done it more professionally, but even then, it was our first album.
Yeah. And then it didn't come out for like a year after
that.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it was how almost unhappy we were with the sound. Like, when you record something and you want it out, you make it happen. You're like, yeah, let's take the steps. But we were kind of like, yeah, it's not ready yet. Like, we never felt prepared to release it to the world. So we did everything we could, and Taylor Cochran saved that album.
Yeah, so what's up with that? He mixed it?
Yeah, he remixed, like, the whole album. We redid a few things, like, re-recorded, like, vocals and some guitar and drums, and I think it was definitely a necessary thing. We, like, considering it was our first time doing it, we didn't really take it seriously enough to make sure what we were doing we were happy with.
You're learning a lot the first time you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, you guys have your other recordings, but I think one's live and one's voicemail.
Yeah, exactly.
So the first time you go into the studio, you or any sort of recording situation, you learn a lot.
Yeah, and then we have to kind of figure out, how do we put artwork on an album? Where do we order from? What do we do? Stuff like that. And
it's such a big process.
Yeah, it was.
Oh yeah,
but we know now. Like, so for our next album we're doing now, it'll be a way smoother process. Yeah. So we hope.
And do you have physical copies of that? Like, did you guys do like CDs or vinyl?
Oh, we made CDs.
Cool. And you can pick those up at your shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hit
for
us
$10, or you can come to my house. They're all in the basement, just sitting there waiting to be bought.
That's usually what happens.
Yeah,
with a lot of band merch.
Yeah, we've sold over like 70% of them already. Like, even at our album release, we sold a huge chunk of them.
Where was the album release?
Palomino.
And how did that go?
like, couldn't have gone better. We were over capacity twice. We had To Pocket open. That was their last show, and like they were super tight. Wendigo just got back from tour, so that was another draw. Like, Wendigo's back in Calgary, so people came up for that, and then we got to go on top of that. It was just a lot of fun. A lot of family and friends came up for that.
I don't think you can ask for a better CD release.
Yeah, especially our first one too. Like, it's definitely made us feel pretty good about what we were doing.
Super bumping.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty bumping.
Speaking of shows, do you guys have any coming up that you'd like to pimp out?
We're playing at Urban Outfitters at Chinook Mall on March 4th.
March 4th.
And that'll be pretty cool.
Two other bands. You're playing, I
apparently
guess.
Apparently Bad Animal is also playing this show. This is the first time I'm hearing about it. I've yet to confirm this with anybody that I play in this band with, apparently.
To be fair, at least Urban Outfitters was saying this isn't 100%, but that's just what they told us.
We're like,
okay.
Well, that'll be fun, I'm sure.
And Focus People's playing as well.
Nice. Focus People.
Yeah. They're so Sean M. Combi, I don't know if you know him, he's like been in Coyote. He subbed for the Ashy 100 for a bit.
He played in Brother Prussia. Basically.
Played in Brother Prussia. Yeah. He's just like one of those drummers that's kind of a slut. He goes all over the place.
I feel like a lot of drummers are because
slut,
the ratio of drummers to every other musician for a typical rock band is pretty hurting. It's pretty hurting ratio.
Yeah.
Anything else? Up at the moment that you can tell us about?
In April we have one for April 9th. We're going to do our single release, the one we just recorded with Ryan, and we're going to throw that out there with Dead Emperor. They're doing like kind of, is it an EP?
They're doing an EP release, and then the other ones are going to open up the night for us. It should be pretty solid.
I think so, yeah. Where is it at again?
The Palomino.
The Palomino is such a great place to have a show. Like,
especially
that is,
now with Night
like
Owl
a,
gone.
Yeah, it's so like what is up with the Night Owl? Because I'm hearing it's things like it's so
I've heard
that
these
are
too many sources.
I know,
but
it's like a
according
big old rumor mill.
To last post of BJ, they did last post from Night Owl. Basically, they had a review that people like took snippets of interviews and basically just said Night Owl is not doing live music anymore. But
yeah,
the Night Owl's
words in people's mouths and stuff.
Yeah.
Just getting kinda...
I was actually just there last night, and I heard, I mean, and obviously we've all heard a million things, but I heard that they are still doing shows.
Yeah.
But they kind of
probably
need
more
to
like
cater, but they're going to focus mainly on more of like a club vibe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there will still be shows,
but probably like
not as frequent.
Tuesday to Thursday.
Right.
You can be a live band. Like,
that's what I heard. I was messaging them to see what I could figure out, because like I was really upset about it.
I love that venue.
I loved it so much too, especially the basement.
Right.
And
it's a good chill zone.
Yeah, I was messaging them for like, pretty much what I figured out from them is that they said most days of the week they'd be doing live shows, but
so that's weekdays.
Yeah,
yeah.
Most
and,
days
and
of the week.
They would put a lot of effort into promoting DJ shows, which I don't have anything against. Like, I love that, but
there's
pay the bills.
Yeah,
exactly.
Totally. That's what it all comes down to.
But it's almost like there's, you know, over the years we lose so many live music venues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I mean, since I've been going to shows in Calgary, which is a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
I lived here basically my whole life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've gone through countless venues.
Countless?
They close and they open up something else. Yeah, there's tons of venues that aren't around anymore.
Well, like,
some of the places
the my
that
head.
We used to play, like the Stetson, we play there all the time. Like, they
Under
do
Mountain.
Shows.
Under Mountain. Oh, fuck. Where was
I don't
that
know.
One?
It's, it was like a basement of a media studios. It's like kind
media.
Of a
media stuff.
Yeah, media does stuff, but they had a basement part called Undermountain, and so our hardcore band Max and I used to be in.
Oh, you guys used to be in a hardcore band.
Yeah, we're still kind of doing
we're,
it. But
we're
our,
actually playing a show.
Yeah, we're playing a show soon. But our first show that he didn't even fucking play because he had a concussion. We played at Undermountain, and that was the last show Undermountain ever had. And it's a sweet venue. Like, there's Mario like 64 or something in the corner. Like. Or any, like, Super Nintendo games and all that. And
that is sweet.
Just like a there small little video games.
Wait, no, there shouldn't. There
should well, be. Yeah, it's got video games pretty tight.
Well, they got pinball, which I love.
True.
Yeah,
they've got. There should be more venues in general. Yeah,
there should be.
But I guess that's what I meant. But
what else is like? I know the Republic is closed.
Well, there was the new Black Center too.
The new Black. Yeah, who could forget the new Black?
Like a lot of places,
everyone had their way with the new Black.
And like a lot of places that either don't exist at all or now have turned into something completely different. Like going the way of, I guess, the Night Owl. I mean, I'm sure at some point they're just going to be like, we're making way more money with electronic shows.
But Hi-Fi is right there.
And Hi-Fi's right there.
Right next to them.
And Hi-Fi used to do a lot more, like, bands and shit.
I
saw
36 there, and it was awesome.
Yeah. It's a lot more just DJs. We played there with a band called Stab Twist Pull.
Yeah,
that sounds amazing.
Yeah, that was an interesting night. Yeah,
that was. Yeah, definitely not your typical night at the Hi-Fi.
No.
I guess what it does bring up and bring open, though, with all these places that are supposed to be very popular with live music, it'll open it up more to places that either don't normally cater to or don't bring out as much people. Like, I personally love the place, and I'd like more people to go there. It's Dickens.
Yes,
because they have incredible sound.
They
have a great
stage. The lighting and stuff, like, they try.
I think the reason why it doesn't get as much love as I feel like it deserves is because it's out of the way. Out of the way for people taking transit.
Compared to
Night Owl or Broken City. Palomino's
place.
So easy to get to.
Yeah, it is really like a hidden gem. Like, a lot of people don't even really.
But I've seen some wicked shows.
Yeah, totally.
Like, I got this scar on my forehead from a fucking barn burner.
Yeah.
They play a lot of metal shows there as well.
Yeah, a lot of metal and punk rock. I know they do, like, electronic shit too there.
Yeah, they do everything because they're.
Well, they need to, right?
Well, like. Tomorrow night is Propaganda in Belvedere, and that sold out in like 3 hours.
No, yeah.
And the capacity is over like 300. So
yeah, it's a big venue. You
and that's what I love about it. Yeah. I feel like places like
that. Are you going to that show?
Oh, fuck yeah.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah, if you didn't get tickets, you're fucked. But
And then like the Ashy Hundreds playing there this month too.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, Dickens, yeah.
Nice.
People
need to go there.
It's a good spot for sure.
I think that more bars in general, though, might bring, like, they might understand, hey, bands need to play somewhere.
Yep.
Maybe we should use our stage instead of just cover bands or just, like, something. Maybe we should actually bring more live music in and people will come.
Right. Well, the thing is, right now, I feel like the music scene in Calgary, especially for some of the stuff that you guys are doing and even just the band that I'm in right now, it's like a pretty exciting place right now, and I don't know if maybe I was like a little bit blind to it when I was younger, and maybe I just wasn't in, like, I used to play metal bands and shit.
It's a different scene.
It was a different scene.
It's a different world.
But it feels like right now there's a lot going on in Calgary music.
Yeah. Totally.
So they call it 2016, the year of Calgary music.
Yeah,
I
saw that write up. I don't know who did it. I got the link off like Facebook, but they were talking about bands like 36. Or,
that was in the Calgary Herald.
Yeah, it was in the Herald.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Mike Bell.
I actually had, like, a physical copy of it.
And they're saying 2016, the year of music in Calgary, and things have never been this good. There's never been this much talent.
And there is, like, it's actually kind of stupid.
Yeah.
How many, like, I went and saw, like, okay, we all played the Big Winter Classic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Last weekend.
Yeah,
totally. And how much, like, good shit was going on there.
That was so incredible.
It was sold out every night, so.
Yeah. Awesome. Every single ticket, Friday, Saturday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and the weekend passes were all completely sold out.
Yeah, and that was, like, amazing to be a part of that. There was a lot of
even just watching it. Like, performing there was incredible, but, like, watching and being part of this, like, organism, everybody just there enjoying music and beer.
And beer, it was
lots
a celebration of
beer,
music and beer.
Oh, the beer was so good. Holy crap, man.
Yeah, Last Best has got some good shit going on.
Yeah, man. I didn't even went there before, and then we were going to pick up our stuff, Max and I, and then stayed and had a couple beers. And
did you guys go down to the VIP lounge?
We didn't even
know
it
was
there.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Was it cool?
Then we found out.
Okay.
Free shit.
So, well, basically, like, in the basement of Last Best,
I didn't get nothing free.
Nah.
But in the basement of Last Best, there's kind of like this speakeasy style bar with a barber shop, and it's totally like a Prohibition era style place, and it's just like, you know, there's a few tables and a long bar and one bartender in a fucking, like, you know, in a vest and a bow tie or whatever, and making up like sweet cocktails, And it was supposed to be an open bar for all the... Like, that was the artist lounge for the whole weekend. And it was supposed to be an open bar on the night that you played.
Yeah.
So we were, of course, fucking stoked. But then apparently AGLC found out about that, and open bars are not cool anywhere besides Mexico, apparently. So so they put the kibosh on that real quick. But yeah, it was just a cool little spot to go and hang out. Really.
Yeah, we totally missed out on that. And we were in that night, it was like, where is the VIP lounge? And we just never looked for it.
We just kind of
moved on from that question, I guess.
Yeah.
There was a lot. To be fair, there was a lot going on.
Yeah.
Actually, like, we were really stoked also with the National Music Center that's going to be opening. Really
When does that open?
I feel like it's right now,
like, I actually just catered for the construction. Like, so Canna or whatever, they're doing the construction there. And we catered to the guys. And they're saying in about 50... to 90 days, the substantial construction will be done.
Yeah.
And then after that, they're just moving stuff in, doing all like the fine details and whatnot. But they're
because I feel like that's been in the works for a while. Like, I keep hearing about the National Music Center, and I keep being like, has that place not opened yet? And
it's so close, though.
It's close. And I think I read recently that it was opening officially to the public in April. I could be wrong, but I heard April. So
when the Junos...
Yeah, because the Junos are actually being hosted
yeah.
in Calgary, and it will be there.
Totally.
So.
That would suck if it's supposed to be there and they don't make it in time.
Oh, my
God.
Do you think you guys will get your name dropped because you were hotter than Hotline Bling?
I don't know.
I hope so.
Anything's possible, right?
His mom's got connections, though.
We'll get our name dropped on the web campaign, though, because we just did an interview for it, basically.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
we did.
Cool.
Wait, what's this? Tell us about this.
Okay, so basically this guy Nikki works for Noisy, contacted us to do like be a part of the Calgary web campaign for the Junos. So they're gonna be like showing like local Calgary artists stuff. So we just had an interview last Saturday and like
just
a video shoot and photo shoot, and just had a really good time.
Sweet. Awesome, and that's for to promote the Junos in Calgary.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's fucking.
That's where you'll find our Ginyu Force picture if you see it.
Yeah.
That's where that happened.
Ginyu Force?
Yeah,
so it was our latest group photo. Like, we were doing band photos, and we decided to pose as the Ginyu Force from Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, okay.
It's fucking great.
Yeah, no, it's pretty awesome.
Even people who don't know what it is, they're like, "That's sweet."
Like, the one where you guys are all like,
superposed out.
Yeah, is that the new cover photo on your Facebook?
Yeah. That's the Ginyu Force. So.
Totally.
It's not anime accurate, but it's close enough.
Yeah, guys, come on. Only the Austins were anime accurate.
It's true.
Because you got these. I don't know. I think it's pretty exciting with all these events and stuff happening in Calgary. It's pretty. It's lightening up the scene a bit. And with all, like we were talking about, all the venues closing, it's kind of funneling all the needs for these live musics.
And one thing that I'm noticing, and I've said this a lot to people, and I don't want to offend anybody or anything, but like growing up and even just until recently, it's like Calgary's had a lot of music, but it's all been like kind of like these outward bubbles of different genres, and it's always seemed like to me up until recently that it was all pretty clicky. Like, you couldn't really...
Yeah. Actually, yeah.
Like, people would come out for their friend's band, and then they'd fuck off.
Yeah.
Like, and that's all you'd get is, like, you know, the people who show up for one band, and then take off.
I hate it when people do that, man.
As an artist,
it's
super hard, because, you know, you get on some bills with some sweet bands, and you're like, oh, man, gonna get some exposure with some new people, and then you're playing to nobody.
Yeah.
That actually happened to us recently at Dickens. We were playing with Pancake, and just before, like, we were after them, and it was, like, a full house, like, absolutely crowded. They finished their set, everyone just...
Yeah.
See you later.
Like, we were headlining, so we still got paid for headlining, but it's like, it's not really always about like getting paid, it's about...
Well,
like,
no, especially at this level, because you're not getting a ton of money anyways.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
And you're going to get more money in the long run by turning people onto your music
than
you are for that one night that you headlined Dickens.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Totally. No, it's a bit of a creative shift, I think.
But I feel like, I really do feel like, with what's going on right now, especially like with the peak performance contest and stuff like that, there's a lot of scenes kind of, maybe scene is too strong a word, but there's a lot of bubbles coming together, and a lot of people getting stoked on things that are maybe a little bit outside of what they would listen to.
Mm, yeah.
And it seems like a community is actually coming together. And I really did feel that at Big. Like, there was... Yeah. Yeah.
Totally. It's artists supporting artists. It's everybody from painters to musicians to, you know...
Which is so important to get, like, everybody together working for the same cause. Like, building a strong community. Like, mm-hmm. art is nothing without the community behind it.
Exactly. Exactly. 100%.
There's no one there to appreciate it, then... Yeah. And then what's the point?
If a tree falls in the forest.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Well, I think we've done quite a bit of chatting over the last little bit here. Maybe it's time for another song. I think, sure.
Do you guys have a favorite track off Orbit? I'm sure that
differs
from...
Hit me with your best shot, man. Oh my god. Yeah. Best cover we ever did.
Did you guys seriously record that?
Because
I would definitely.
Hey, you have to wait 20 minutes after our last song. We hit it in there. No. We gotta fast forward for a while, and all of a sudden, hit me with your best shot. Well, come
hit
out of nowhere.
With your best shot. Well, I wanted to play Colors in the Sky because it's got this fucking like dirty bass line right in the middle of it, and like this groove kicks in, and it's got a lot of the interplay I like, and the. And just, like, your guys' crazy, like, ethereal vocal thing going on. Like, I think it's a really good showcase of what these guys got going. You think Colors in the Sky is a good
one? Yeah,
I love it.
Let's do that one. That's track number one off Orbit by Fox Who Slept the Day Away.
So that was Colors in the Sky from Orbit by Fox Who Slept the Day Away. So what's next for Fox Who Slept the Day Away? What's on your guys' horizons, especially for 2016?
Oh man. World domination.
At least. At the very minimum. Yeah. We got a lot on our plates, so.
Totally. We've been playing Risk at least 20 times over.
Lord of the Rings Risk.
Yeah, we've been planning on...
Is there such a thing?
There is.
Yes.
It exists.
Of course there is.
It's Lord of the Rings. Literally everything.
It fits right in there. Like a puzzle.
And we're planning on a grand domination of Canada.
That is true.
With a van and our music. That's what we want to do.
That's a pretty good reason to go.
So yeah, we're doing a Canadian tour.
Yeah, with an album. Like we're currently recording.
Yeah.
A new album of all of our new stuff that I feel like when people hear it and compare it to Orbit, they'll be like, okay, these guys
blow their minds.
Well, I gotta say, because. Okay, so these guys are recording their album with no other than Senor Ryan Coos.
Yeah!
Who you guys will remember, of course, from previous episodes of the show. Mm. And I've heard the one song that you guys recorded. Don't know if I was supposed to, but I definitely heard it. You showed it to me. And
I don't show anybody.
To be fair, I just sold Ryan Coos.
It's being recorded here, so.
Yeah,
I have a right.
You have a right. I mean. I'm up in the morning making waffles, and I hear some fucking tracks.
You gotta check it out.
It's good
waffle music.
It is.
Yeah.
I was gonna say it's great waffle music. Also, to me, it sounded like the bastard child of Pink Floyd and Fleet Foxes.
Word.
Awesome. I'm okay with that.
That's exactly what it sounded like.
Those were
the first two bands that popped into my head when I heard it, and it's definitely like, and this is gonna sound weird to say following what I just said. But it's like a little bit more I don't know if upbeat is the right word, but it's kind of like less ethereal. It's less in the cloud that you guys kind of put your music in. And it's a little bit more out there. And like,
we want people to have
a little bit
more
vibrant,
fun.
I think.
Yeah. So we're expanding a bit with our expressions, and we're kind of moving away from this like solitude kind of feel, and we're trying to
have fun with
bring
us.
Bring more people in, yeah.
It's a good time in this lake. You know, the water's great.
Jump in, man. Fuck your toes.
Jump on
in.
Yeah, I just peed. I warmed it up for you.
I mean, we're definitely moving more away from like a post-rocky feel, and we're adding a bit more influence in jazz and...
I was gonna say, I heard a scratch track that you were recording to.
Yeah.
And it was like so jazzy.
Yeah.
It was like, I was like, I feel
can't
like I'm listening to like a modern jazz record with some like, you know.
Well, we talked as a group, we decided we're defining ourselves as a psychedelic jazz band.
Yeah.
Indie psychedelic.
That's the conversation's not done yet, but yeah, we're getting there with our genre definition.
Which, like, as far as the guitar playing shit goes, and like the strong rhythm section that you guys have, that's totally somewhere you guys could explore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's cool. So I'm definitely really excited to hear the rest of that album.
We are
you
too.
Guys,
yeah.
And you guys are recording it right now?
Yeah.
Yep.
The drums
are done.
Yeah.
Or 98% done. We need to do some
tambourine.
Yeah.
Tambourine.
Did you get the chimes recorded?
I noticed there was a separate chime track.
You guys gotta hear these fucking chimes because
they're
just off the hook. Is that a thing people still say off the hook?
Yeah,
but they're off the fucking hook.
Yeah. I'm trying to bring back on this side of the Mississippi.
Dude, this engine jams.
This
engine jams so hard.
Yeah.
Alright, so assuming everything goes well, which in recording it never does, but let's just live in make-believe land for a while, when can we expect to hear this new music?
Late May.
Definitely before June.
May 20th.
Definitely. May 28th.
May
20th. You hear that, Ryan Coos? You got your work cut out for you.
We've told him, man. He's like, alright, this is my full-time job. I'm gonna bust my fucking ass. Like,
yeah,
we're gonna start.
Well, to be fair, we need it by the end of May, so
yeah,
maybe
we
before
need it.
Before May.
Yeah,
they'll be able to hear it.
Yeah,
May 28th if you come to our album release, but we're probably gonna release it the day after.
So you guys already have the album release set.
Yeah.
And where? When?
The Palomino as well.
Of course, Palomino.
Speaking of the place that we just keep playing it.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Palmito's getting a lot of plugs from Pirate Life Radio. We should probably talk to them about sponsoring
sponsorship,
their show.
Of course.
Or yeah, at least free beer. I mean,
one draft a day couldn't sink a bit.
The dates for our single release and our album release are April 9th and May 28th.
Perfect. Both at the Palomino.
Oh, you're doing a single release party?
Yeah. The one that you heard before, the kind of first
the
one.
The Bastard Child of Pink
Floyd.
Yeah,
that one we're going to release early. We originally weren't going to include it in the album, but we were like, you know what? Let's get it in there.
Build
make
some
it cozy.
Hype.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you guys had recorded that almost as like just like a single to release.
Exactly.
Okay, so it will be on, the upcoming album.
Yeah. Tight. But a single, it'll be out for, I guess like a month and a half before.
Okay.
Awesome. Do you guys have anything in the works for like music videos or anything like that?
Nothing really. Our good friend Matt Moore, he really wants to make something happen. He just graduated from Vancouver for video school. I don't know the specifics of it, but he really wants to make something happen with us. And I'll be moving in with him soon, so we'll be able to make that happen more, I guess. We originally talked about maybe getting a music grant for something like that, but now we're more so wanting to get a music grant for tour, because...
Tour is fucking
it really
is. Do you guys
is.
Have a band van, or...?
We're looking. We're even thinking about some short buses, make it really cozy.
Oh, man.
Put some, like, serious work into it, put some a lot of beds in there and chill spots. Make it real cozy.
I've toured in some funky mobiles.
Yeah.
I will say. The coolest one... was I went and roadied for 36 a couple summers ago just for a quick jaunt out to Vancouver, and they borrowed Sean Hamilton's tour van thing. And basically what it was this big cargo van with like the roof he added like an extension on the roof so he could throw a couple beds up there, and then there was like a TV, and at the very back was like a bunk, but underneath the bunk was room for gear storage.
Oh man.
This thing was set like this. He knew what he was doing. Oh, it was great. It was definitely a step above the gutted out van that Through Tragedy toured in however many summers ago that was.
Yeah.
The fart box.
The fucking steam engine from hell. it was bad. There was no climate control. The climate control was not to be heard of.
Ugh.
I actually saw somebody almost lose their mind due to like heat delirium. He was sitting the other guitarist was sitting in the back. We're going through Ontario, and there's like just this gnarly heat wave. It's like 45 degrees out.
And there's a heat wave
like
going
that.
On in Chronicles of Riddick right now. Like literally they are trying to run away
this
from
is,
it.
This is I've been really watching this like intense.
Yeah. Like it's really climaxing right now. Like I don't know.
Oh my god.
What the fuck is that?
Yeah, and there it is.
Great shot of Vin Diesel. Yeah.
See, this was exactly what it felt like driving through Ontario in a
horrible.
It had no insulation.
Oh my god.
All we had was two front windows, and I'm in the back, and we've got these two like fans that are attached to a power bar, but we can only have them turned on while the van is on, because otherwise you're gonna kill the battery.
Yeah.
So we need to make a pit stop so somebody can piss or whatever.
Yeah.
And so the fans go off and we're just sitting in the back of the van, like not sure if it's gonna be hotter in the van or outside the van, but we know we're fucked. And he's just sitting there and he's got this sleeping bag kind of dangling over his face, and there's like, you know, like the pull tab for the zipper.
Yeah.
It's just sitting there dangling, and he's just like looking at it so intently. He's got this madman's glaze across his eyes. I'm like, Calvin, are you okay, buddy? And he's like, every time the dangly gets closer to my face, I get one step closer to losing my goddamn mind. I'm just sitting there going like, this is way too intense for 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
My god.
Oh my god. Pendulum, man.
So yeah, basically what I'm trying to say is spend a couple extra dollars on something with a little bit of climate
control. Luckily, we have a lot of help from my dad who just recently won the lottery.
Oh shit.
Yeah, he won $2 million. Yeah, he won $2 million, and recently I talked to him, he was like, hey, do you mind like maybe giving us a loan or something for a van that we'll pay back in full? And he's like, yeah, easy. I mean, like, hey, if you got $2 million in your bank,
why not? What do you?
And it's not like, hey, my son's shitty band wants to do something. It's like, hey, like my
son
is like, we're actually like working really hard on this. We have a lot of promising things coming up.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like a bad idea in his opinion, and we're only 20 as it is. So
it's a good investment. I actually wanted to talk about, like, you guys are only 20 years old, is that right?
Yeah.
Yes. Not yet bitter and jaded like Kyle and myself.
No, definitely not.
Actually, Austin is not yet 20. So.
Yeah, he is.
Is he?
Yeah.
December.
Yeah,
it's
December
right
now.
Ooh.
What are you?
Yeah. We're all 20. Yeah.
And I wanted to add, like, I'm like 26. I've been doing the fucking band thing for not long enough, anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I wanted to ask you guys, like, do you notice, do you get any sort of weird treatment, or is anybody like, is it weird being this young in the music scene? Because I feel like there's a lot, like, especially with the way things are coming up, there's a lot of people who've been in it for a long time. There's a lot of people, like, either closer to my age or even older.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, like, how that affects people's perception. Is that, like, been a negative or a positive thing? Or is that something that's just, like, a part of who you guys are and you're rolling with it?
Well, honestly, I wouldn't say weird experiences, personally. I would say more just different experiences. I've talked to everybody from, like, a principal of a school about our music to, you know, other fellow musicians and even, like, grandparents and neighbors of mine. And they're all like, wow, this is cool, this is interesting, because it's, like, it's pushing the boundaries of what conventional music generally is. So we definitely get different receptions from different people, and we've had people like your age be like, wow, you're writing this stuff at this age? I wish I was doing that at your age. And I'm like, okay, well, you know what? Why should I put this down?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I wanted to tell you guys, you know, you guys are young and you've got, like, a serious thing going on, obviously. You're investing a lot of time and effort into this. And if you guys are, like, the biggest thing that's ever stopped any other projects that I've been in is people not being on the same page in terms of what they want to do with the band. Mm-hmm. But it seems like you guys are on the same page. And being this young and having this work ethic and wanting to, like, unite and actually work together to accomplish something.
Being so focused.
Is only, like, especially at the age that you're at now, like, in 2 years from now, who knows where you guys will be. So if you guys keep it up, only great things ahead for you guys.
Yes. And that's something else. Like, we, I wouldn't say frequently, but occasionally have serious talks with, like, bands definitely shouldn't. Like, what do we want to do? Where are we going?
What is our plan?
Is this something we are going to be serious about?
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to keep making music? Or should, like, what should we do? And I think that's something that, I guess, could keep more bands together from breaking up, because,
like, well, you guys have picked up a lot of steam so far.
Yeah.
And, you know, but who knows? The sky is always the limit, of course, but it certainly helps that you guys you seem to be in this together.
Yeah, no, totally. We try to work with this whole team ethic and team community type feel, and, you know, we're trying to support each other as much as we can, and it's not so much we're in it for our individual tastes. Like, we're kind of snowballing as a group, and we're hoping to see where this tour will lead us, where some opportunities will lead us. Mm-hmm. And to be fair, it's going to be our make or break opportunity. And we'll know if we can, you know, be there in exposure, be there at shows every other night, and maintain our, you know, what we want to represent. Or are we just going to let it crumble us and we're going to fall apart under the pressure?
That's a very mature way to look at the challenges that are ahead of you.
I mean, we're at that young age. It's like, parents are like, are you going to school? Are you going to look for a full-time, like, a serious career and stuff? It's like,
no, I'm going to be a fucking rock star.
That's what you want to do.
Real life, man. Everybody wants you to be somebody else,
exactly.
Right?
But even then, like, personally, like, my parents, they're in full support of this, because a lot of people see that this is our passion. Like, we wouldn't have made it this far if it wasn't. Like, we started, like we mentioned a long time ago in this talk, is that we started making shitty, mediocre music. And then from that, people kind of liked it. And it's like, hey, if we took it seriously, we can make it even better and then explode from there.
Totally. We're trying to be really constructive. And personally, I totally support in the capacity of leadership. The more you're able to show, the more it encourages other people to show more. And you bounce that and you reflect that off other people. And it's like, it's a
contagious thing.
Yeah, it's a friendly type of competition. It's like a competitive community, and it helps better everybody. And I feel like it's really, it's surrounding Calgary right now with our entire scene.
There's the fucking, there's a beautiful buzz going on, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, yeah. It's a really exciting time. Well, those are some, pretty wise words from these guys for such a young age. I love it. I dig it.
Yeah.
I think that probably wraps up our talk here.
I think so.
Anything you guys want to add? Post addendum?
Pirate's life for me.
Guys, you just gotta go out there and live your dreams. Keep your
stick on the ice.
Keep your stick on the ice. Pull up your socks and hit 110 and
make sure let the door hit you on the way up.
All that good stuff. So I think what we're gonna do is we're gonna preview that single that you guys are releasing. When is that again?
April 9th.
At the Palomino?
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. We're gonna play a snippet of that. And we're going to wrap things up here. So thanks so much for joining us, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Woo! Woo! Yeah. And good luck with all your future endeavors. What's the name of this track?
Mount Columbia?
All right. Here's a sneak preview of Mount Columbia from Foxes Up the Dayway. Thanks a lot, guys.
Cheers.
See you, guys.
See ya.
That's all the time we've got for today, Sailors, so thanks again for tuning in. Be sure to contact us if you've got anything that you need about.
Thanks again to Fox Who Slept the Day Away for stopping by doing the interview. Big things coming up for those guys, and we're definitely going to want to keep an eye out.
Until next time, kiddos.
See you next time.